Yo, episode 21, baby. Another episode of Football Without Hesitation. Welcome back. And all y'all for sticking for these weeks. Thank you. I'm trying something a little different. Season's coming to an end. Quick season was over a long fucking time ago. But you know, they're not going to play any more games until March, so I thought I would change things up a bit, make some segments, you know, kind of something that people could look forward to every week. But, yeah, we'll get to that as time goes. But anyway, getting right into this shit, Quakes played Vancouver on Sunday. It was raining. It wasn't cold. Fucking weird. It wasn't cold. It was very warm, very windy. It's like a fucking wind tunnel that when you're in the supporters terrace, the standing area behind the goal there, and it's a bit windy, the fucking wind funnels, and it was blowing. It was blowing on Sunday, but again, luckily it was a warm wind, but it was ridiculous. The Quakes ended up tying, they tied Vancouver at home, which, let's check this out. What is that, their home record at? But anyway, it was, man, this game, I get The Quakes aren't really playing for anything. 7-3-7 at home this year. I get it. They're not playing for anything at the moment. Nobody wants to get hurt. You know, people want the season to end. They want to get into next season, and they are damn sure playing that way. And then it was raining, so like, not everybody was in their seats, and then there wasn't even really that many people. I mean, not that it was empty, but there definitely wasn't. It wasn't one of those situations where it's like, oh yeah, it was a sellout, and everybody was at the bar or something. Fuck no. It was quiet. It was the worst atmosphere I've experienced at Avaya for sure. Everybody seemed lethargic. The players, the fans. I don't know how TV announcers were doing. Maybe they did a fine job. But anyway, I don't know, man. Standing there was absolutely nothing about that game that got me excited for next season. Other than David Bingham. David Bingham is the best player on the team. David Bingham fucking stands out. The dude, he's young for a keeper. He's really good. I mean, he's too good. He's too good. The way this team, the way it handles talent, and the way it grows itself, leads me to believe that Bingham's not going to be around for long. He's going to go on to a good team. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. The Quakes got that fucking that executive searching group to help them on their GM search. Hopefully, you know, they can come up with something. I don't know. Obviously, they don't release any of that information. But anyway, back to this fucking game again. Bingham, best player on the team, not just this game, but all season. He's been there every single game. Dude's fucking badass. He's badass, and he's getting better. It's crazy seeing him, you know, grow from just being this young cat that, you know, really had trouble directing, you know, the defenders there. But anyway, it's cool to see him grow into this player. He's fucking badass. He might be too good for the team, but ultimately, the rain fucking sucked. The game sucked. The fucking parking lot was a mud pit. If you're a pig, you would have loved it. If you're a swine, you would have been at home. You would have been like, "What? Why is everybody complaining?" But I mean, come on. Hopefully again by next year, there's some sort of pavement or something there, because that shit's ridiculous. I know part of it is paved, so maybe next year. I mean, now that there's no games, maybe they could go full bore. But yeah. Dude, it was something in the second half, like, what was it, in the 75th minute, something like that, 75th, 80th minute, around that time. There was Vancouver was attacking, and the shot ended up going wide. But after the shot, it was just something that was so kind of indicative of what's going on with the team, and it was Jordan Stewart and Marvin Wynn, and they're just going back and forth. They're in each other's face. They're obviously upset at each other. They thought they should have been, in another position. But, and it wasn't this, I mean, and it happens. I get it. It's the middle of a game. There's heated moments, but this looked different, you know. This genuinely looked like two people that were just fucking tired of working together, just tired of being teammates, and they were right at each other's faces, and then they wouldn't, you know. Bingham was about to put the ball back into play, and these dudes are still going back at it. Bernardes ultimately gets in between them, and then Bernardes gets there. I mean, of course, you know, Bernardes is the leader back there. But he just gets in between them, and just his demeanor, you know, the look on his face, his body was just like, just tired. He was just like, dude, like, dude, just shut the fuck up. Let's just get this shit over with. Like, I mean, it literally looked like that's what he fucking told him. So, I mean, I don't know if it's because it's the end of the season. I don't know if I'm just looking way too into a fucking random moment in a game. But, I don't know, just seeing that, and it was just like, fuck, dude. This team is not meshing. This team is not, I mean, obviously, look at the fucking results. But I don't know. This goes back to I do not get why keeping Dom around is gonna work. I don't get what the fuck's gonna change. I mean, a new GM is gonna motivate, you know, the players that much that all of a sudden they're gonna want to play together again. I don't know. Is that even a GM's fucking job? You know, like, the coach is the one that deals with the players. The coach is the one that has to make sure that the locker room is running well. And he, again, I guess, you know, if he had a GM that he was cool with, fuck, that doesn't, goddamn, John Doyle and Dom Kinnear were goddamn bed buddies. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't fucking know. But that was the last game of the year. Well, last home game of the year, and it was terrible. If you were wondering how the Quake season was going, you should have just watched that game, and it'd be like, oh, okay, that's all I needed to know. It was fucking terrible. But the last game of the year is coming up this Sunday at 1 p.m. again, decision day in MLS. All the games start at 1, and dude, there's some pretty interesting things that I'll get into right now. But the Quakes are taking on Sporting Kansas City. A little history. Again, this is one of the new things that I want to bring up. I want to kind of highlight whoever the opponent is that week. Bring a little history, a little modern stuff, because like I've said, this isn't like a fucking crazy hardcore analyzing podcast or whatever, you know. I want this podcast to really bring people into the American version of this sport, to bring people into MLS, to bring people to the Quakes, or, you know, to follow their own fucking team. But I really want to introduce people to you know, that's a big thing, I think, is people get that there's a professional league and people get that it's getting better, but they don't know who the players are. They don't know who the teams are. They don't know, you know, who the big guy is, who the little guy is, who's the Yankees, you know, who's the Yankees, who's the Lakers, who's the Red Wings of soccer, you know, American soccer, MLS. So what I want to start doing is, especially in the off season, is start infusing some more history of the teams, so people can get to know them. People can you know, maybe pique somebody's interest in research more into them. And you might find a fucking team. But anyway, this Sunday again, the Quakes are playing Sporting Kansas City, which is one of the original teams. Again, the league started in 1996 with 10 teams. The San Jose Earthquakes were one of them. They were known as the San Jose Clash back then. Some teams are not around. Some teams have changed their name. Some teams are still around with the same name. But yeah, the Quakes were the Clash, and the Wizards were the Kansas City Wiz, because they obviously hated them fucking themselves. That's the one thing. It never made sense. The fucking Wiz? The fucking Wiz. Nobody fucking thought, like, hey, that's... Somebody could say, you don't think they're going to make any fucking piss jokes? You know, nobody's going to make piss on the Wiz? Wiz on the Wiz? I don't know. I'm not very clever, as you can tell, but they were the Kansas City Wiz. They were known as the Kansas City Wiz. Eventually, they figured it out. I think in 2000, they switched over, and they were the Kansas City Wizards. But then in 2010, they were bought by a group that seemed... It was one of those that they seemed really interested in the team, that, like, they wanted to make a good team. And so the first thing they did is they got a stadium. The team didn't have... They played at Arrowhead. They fucking played at Arrowhead, a giant-ass football stadium. So they got their own stadium in 2011. It used to be called Livestrong, I think, Livestrong Stadium. And then... Well, that went to shit. People are not big fans of Lance Armstrong anymore. So it's Children's Mercy Park now. I don't know. They're really, I guess, any of these new stadiums, there hasn't been a bad one. I guess there's been bad locations. You know, you put stadiums in places that don't make sense, but I don't think there's been a cheaply or badly constructed soccer-specific stadium recently. But and I mean, this is one of the good ones. This is definitely one of the good ones. The north side of the stadium specifically, it's the known as the Cauldron. I believe the supporters group is actually the Cauldron. But yeah, so it's a very intimidating atmosphere. It's a really cool atmosphere. One of these, if you think, again, that American fans don't have the heart, American fans aren't the same, this would be a great game, you know, to want to peek into. That north side of the stadium gets pretty fucking rowdy. And currently Kansas City sits in sixth place in the West. There's some fucking, I'll get into it right now, but there's some playoff scenarios. This game matters. Again, it doesn't matter to the Quakes. The Quakes are out of it, but Kansas City definitely wants to win this game. A win for them pretty much assures them a playoff spot. And it, again, the ties and all this, so many things happen, but I'll get into it right now. But yeah, they're actually, they have 44 points on the season. They're 12-3-8. They're tied with Portland. They are ahead on goal differential, barely by a goal. They're at -1, where Portland's at -2. So the scores are gonna matter this weekend. The points are gonna matter. It's gonna be fucking crazy. And yeah, so let's get into that, because damn, it gets pretty extensive. So again, I focus obviously on the West. The league's divided into two conferences, Eastern and Western Conference. So I focus on the West, obviously. And yeah, and the scenarios are pretty interesting. And I based them around the Quakes game, obviously. The Quakes, like I said, they play Kansas City on Sunday. And the other players in this shit, Real Salt Lake, Seattle, and Portland. Again, they all play on Sunday at 1 o'clock. The games, fuck, it's crazy. So let's get into this. So let's start off with if the Quakes beat Kansas City, Kansas City stays at 44 points. Depending on how the Portland game ends up, they may or may not be in the playoffs. If Portland wins in Vancouver, Kansas City is out of the playoffs. And depending on the Salt Lake Seattle game, Portland temporarily moves up to fourth place. And if Seattle wins against Real Salt Lake, then Seattle secures the fourth place, and Real Salt Lake drops all the way down to sixth place. Again, this is with a Portland win. If Seattle loses against Salt Lake, then Portland goes to fifth place, and Seattle drops down to sixth place. Again, and Kansas City would be out of the playoffs there. If Seattle and Real Salt Lake tie, and Portland and Salt Lake would tie for fourth. And again, that's where goal differential would come into play. Real Salt Lake, again, is sitting at -1 at the moment. So depending on the Portland, Portland plays Vancouver. So depending on the Portland-Vancouver game, the final score there, it's going to be huge. And that game's in Vancouver. The game's in Vancouver, but Vancouver's has a .500 record at home. Vancouver can be beaten at home. Portland doesn't have a road victory this year. That's huge. I mean, I don't know if there was ever time to fucking nut up and win a fucking game on the road, that's going to be it. So, I mean, that Portland-Vancouver game is going to be huge, huge. Quakes-Kansas City also is going to be a huge game in this playoff picture. Salt Lake plays Seattle, another ginormous game. I mean, I don't know. If you've never followed American soccer, this is it. 1 o'clock, you could get your whole fucking fill. And things are going to be changing by the goal. It's going to be fucking crazy. So, again, those were the scenarios there if the Quakes were to win in Kansas City. But if the Quakes were to lose in Kansas City, then Kansas City would bump up to 47 points. And so that affects the playoff picture in this way. If, again, Kansas City wins and Portland wins, then it goes to a tiebreaker based on goal differential. If Portland loses, Portland's out of the playoffs with a Kansas City win. If Real Salt Lake and Seattle tie, Kansas City and Real Salt Lake tie for fourth. So this positioning between fourth and sixth is huge. Again, a tie here, a win here. Sixth place has to play Galaxy in LA. And yeah, that's fucking tough. That's going to be a fucking tough game. So if Kansas City wins and Real Salt Lake and Seattle tie, Kansas City and Real Salt Lake will end up tied for fourth place. Then again, goal differential would be the tiebreaker there. If Real Salt Lake wins, Real Salt Lake secures the fourth position. Kansas City is fifth, and Seattle drops all the way down to sixth. Again, then they would have to travel to LA. If Real Salt Lake loses and Kansas City wins, then Seattle ends up in fourth. Kansas City will be in fifth, and Real Salt Lake will be in sixth place. And they would have to go to LA to play the Galaxy. So, Kansas City can do themselves a real, really, really big favor with a win. I mean, depending on the other games, they could, I mean, yeah, they could be in fourth. You get that fourth. You get that fourth spot. You would have to. You get the home game. Yeah, you're at home. Yeah. So the third possibility for Sunday's game against Kansas City is a tie. The Quakes tie Kansas City. Kansas City bumps up to 45 points. Again, putting them in a tie with Seattle for fifth place temporarily, depending on the outcome of other games. And if at that point Portland were to win, Kansas City gets knocked out of the playoffs. Portland jumps up above them. Kansas City goes down to seventh place, out of the playoff picture. If Portland ties against Vancouver, then they both end up with 45 points. It goes down to a goal differential tiebreaker. Again, depending on the scores on Sunday, that can mean the difference between the playoffs or not. If Portland were to lose, then they'd be out of the playoffs by a point. They'd be at 44 points. Kansas City would go into the playoffs at 45. Again, that's with Kansas City tying the Quakes on Sunday. That's huge. A tie for Kansas City really, really puts them in a tough spot. I mean, they're really going to want to go for the win. A win can really, again, put them in fourth place. Depending on that Seattle Real Salt Lake game is going to be huge. Huge. But Kansas City, again, is definitely going to want to put themselves in a better position. They're definitely going to want the full 3 points, not have to worry about Portland or anybody coming up behind them. And again, possibly end up in fourth place. Sixth place is going to have to go to LA. It's going to be fucking tough. They're winners. Anyone that has to go down to fucking Carson in LA is going to have a tough time. So yeah, it's big. It's big. I know that was really confusing. A quick rundown in 5 minutes of all the possible scenarios, but dude, that's how it is. The East got a little bit, little bit more separate, but hey, New England's within a win. But yeah, but this West is going to be fucking exciting. Every goal is going to matter. Every goal is going to completely change. Again, a goal can literally mean the difference between fourth place and sixth place at the moment. It's fucking crazy. It's going to be fun. This Sunday, 1 o'clock, all the games are at the same time. So get out your phone, get out your tablet, get out your laptop, get as many screens as possible going, as many different games as you can going. It's going to be fucking badass. It's going to get a great way. If you want to learn about the league, if you don't believe it can get that hectic, if you want to see the excitement of Decision Day, man. Decision Day is huge, especially when your team's involved. It sucks that our team, the Quakes, are not involved, but they can definitely play spoiler, and that's always fun as well. And they seem to have a knack for that. So I know it's a way, but we need something. The fans need something to hang on to for next year. This year, it was disarray. It was fucking chaos at moments. The fans, again, we need something. We need something from this team to show that, you know, the reason why we stand out in the fucking rain, in the wind, to support this team. And I have faith that they'll come through. But we'll see. We'll see. I'll catch y'all next week. Yeah, it'll be playoff edition, I guess, at that point. I mean, I'm sure to cover the playoffs. Like I said, I'll be doing segments. You know, like when the Quakes play, I'll definitely get into a little history, about the teams. Well, what I'm thinking of doing for the off season is doing that every week, covering a team. I mean, that'll get me through, I think, into the new season. So yeah, so I'll be, you know, talking MLS news, anything involving the Quakes that comes up, any other soccer related tidbit. Burlingame Dragons, again, I know they're just a summer team, but they're part of the Quakes family, and they're doing some exciting stuff, and yeah, so I'll definitely, if I hear anything out of that team, I'll definitely, you know, be sure to mention it on this show. So stay tuned for that. You know, talk about every team in the league. Yes, you know, get to know the league that way, and yeah, again, come enjoy it. It's a good time. Avaya Stadium is fucking badass. I mean, I guess I'm talking for next year now, but it's a cool time. It's a cool fucking time, and yeah, and I mean, this sport is getting really good, and we need more people to keep showing up. We need more people to keep pushing this front office to make the good decisions, to bring in the players that are going to make a difference, that are going to take this team to another fucking championship. And you know, but anyway, I'm going to get off my fucking soapbox. Thanks again for listening. Fucking love it. I love the support. I love hearing people that listen. If you like it, tell your friends, you know. Tell your friends, Football Without Hesitation. Go back to the first episode if you're curious why the fuck it's called that. I thought more people were going to ask it, and I had my cool ass Albert Camus story and shit, but nobody's asked. But anyway, thanks for listening. At Baldini10 on Twitter. Follow me. I'm putting Quake scarves on statues and whatever the hell else I can. I'm going to Fremont's Peak, and I'm a fucking there, the Pinnacles. I'm telling you, all over Monterey County, I'm going to put that Quake scarf. I'm going to put it on that Twitter, at Baldini10. Follow me on there. You know, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Music. Podcast is available on all those services. Any other podcast service, just look up Football Without Hesitation. It'll be there. 20 other episodes, you know. Their show short. I think 45 minutes is the longest one. But yeah, thanks for listening. I'll catch y'all next week. Fucking Quakes, Better Play spoiler. Beat these motherfuckers. See y'all next week.